And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 257, coming at you at night early with your weekly fab preview, because, you know, there's some holidays coming up, and we're going to have a good time and enjoy ourselves, so we got to get this out to you guys now and get you ready for week 16 fab. Got a couple big news items to hit on as well. Before we get to that, though, some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Good, man. Just got done listening to Bench with Bubba with Brandon Waddell. It was fantastic. Great pod. Brandon was an awesome guest. Recommend everyone listen to that before prioritizing us. That was really good stuff from Brandon. So yeah, coming at you all a night early to this week. We've got holidays, birthdays. Kid turns four tomorrow, so we're taking Thursday night off. We'll see how it goes in terms of content, fab preview wise. But you know, everyone enjoy your fourth. Have a good fourth, and hopefully, listen to this pod before the holiday and go on your way.
Yep, have some fun listening to it. Enjoy your holiday. If you're a Patreon member, I'll still have my fab preview up later this week, which will help with, adjust anything that might take place here. If you're an HQ subscriber, I think Ryan, I'm not by speaking for him, we'll have his article this weekend as well, I believe.
Always.
So you'll be covered up to date, but this will at least get the ball rolling for you, because
like we still have no life, but we take a few hours off to celebrate.
It's more so coherentness tomorrow night is the issue at hand, and we're just gonna leave it at that.
We could prop you up after fireworks, but it may or may not go well.
As you said, it might be John Pierre Paul over here. It's Jason. But John, yeah, I know. I was joking with you. I was joking with you from last night. Ben pointed that out today.
I thought that was a good joke, and then I get the dude's freaking first name wrong.
Yes, it was a good joke. But, yeah, we have a lot of fireworks to play with tomorrow night, and the kids are going to be very excited. I got my jalapeno popper dip that'll be coming out. Everyone requests it now for the 4th. Yeah, now I'm making a double batch this year because it's disappeared too fast for some last year. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Very much looking forward to it. And that is why, the big reason that, and a wonderful 4th birthday tomorrow to your son. So we have a couple things to take care of on Thursday.
Yep.
All right. A couple bits of news and notes that dropped on Wednesday because we had most of it covered on Tuesday. Not a big gap from our last recording. Spencer Schwellenbach. The shot heard around the world, or the chip heard, the fracture heard around the world. Just the news drops, hits the IL with a fracture in his elbow. He says from increased velocity, Ryan. He's going to be shut down for at least 4 weeks before being reevaluated. The hope is to have Schwelly back in September. Devastating news, my friend.
Devastating and like completely out of the blue, right? Because this wasn't like a Chris Sale, not to rub, you know, even more dirt in the wound for Braves fans, but this wasn't like some thing you saw on the field, you know, that was like, oh, that might hurt. This was just completely out of the blue. And yeah, the velocity was up. I don't normally, like normally I equate higher velocity to like forearm strains and muscle strains and shoulders and that sort of thing. Like just weird that it would be a fractured elbow, but yeah, the velocity was up a full mile an hour for Schwellenbach. But yeah, this is you have a lot more Schwelly than I do. This was totally out of the blue, total gut punch, because it does not seem like it sounds like he wants to pitch again in September, but that's code for we probably won't see you again this year. And specifically for fantasy, I think this is an obvious drop. It's brutal trying to replace that production. Schwelly was one of the few bright spots in an otherwise pretty dismal year and getting worse for Atlanta.
Yep, totally agree. The Braves have now lost Chris Sale, Schwellenbach, Ronaldo Lopez, and AJ Smith-Shawver from their starting rotation this season. So,
hey, but Michael Harris is still healthy, so that's, you know, they got that going for him.
Yeah, they have that going for him. That is true. That is true. We'll go with that. And I don't even know who to tell you to pick up because they haven't even named a guy, and there's really no one worth picking up right now.
Not really. Like Fangraphs has Hurston Waldrop penciled in, I guess, online, but that Hurston Waldrop has a single digit strikeout minus walk rate in AAA this year. You're not going there.
Yeah, that's As Mitch D in the chat here says, Jean-Pierre Paul will be starting the game for the Braves before the end of the year.
It might be the mythical Jean-Pierre Paul at some point.
Yes, definitely. Definitely a thing. And then the injury IL stint that we've been needing for about 2 months now. Yeah. Bailey Ober hits the IL with a hip injury. So he's going to be out for at least 2 weeks. They say he'll need a couple of rehab starts once he's healthy enough to pitch again. They're not setting a timetable because, A, he's needed to sit for a while with this injury. B, he just needs to get better. So this is kind of a combination of things, it feels like. We already wanted to drop him. This just locks it up for me.
This locks it up. Like, I think I still have, well, maybe I finally benched Ober this week. Last week was the two-step, so I had him in there, and it went about as planned. This does not seem like a Phantom IL stint to me. Like, I actually think Bailey Ober's hurt.
No.
Hurt,
he's
you know?
Hurt.
Like,
he's been dealing
with it. I just don't know why the Twins waited so long. I don't know. Yeah, like, what took them so long? So some of that's, unlike Schwelly, I have a lot of Bailey Ober. Some of this is frustration boiling over. It's like, could you just tell us that Ober was hurt a month ago and we could have avoided all this? But yeah, our long national nightmare is over. We can move on from Bailey Ober.
Ober and out, everybody. Ober and out.
Ober and out.
All right, that'll do it for the official news. We'll hit up on some guys returning, some guys, you know, scratched, all that stuff throughout our team-by-team week 16 preview. So we'll go, as usual, through the schedule, team-by-team. Then we'll talk some, most added players on Fantrax. Then we'll talk two-step pitchers, so on and so forth. But we only have is this the last week before the break or 2 weeks before the break?
The week we're looking at is a little far out since it's just Wednesday, but yes, this is July 7th through 13th. So after this week, we'll be 4 days off for the All-Star break.
Awesome. Can't wait. What are you seeing on this one? So you actually have a lot of seven teamers this week.
There's a lot of seven gamers. Yep. Boston, Tampa, Tampa all on the road. So that's noteworthy, but seven games, the White Sox and Guardians have seven, Angels have seven, Rangers have seven, Miami Marlins have seven, the Reds, best schedule of the week by far.
Oh,
not only is it seven,
God.
Yeah. Not only is it seven games, number one, number two, it's all seven at home. And number three, it's all seven at home against the Marlins and the Rockies, who their pitchers combined have a, and it's all righties. That's number four. I'm losing count at this point.
Yeah,
but it's all seven right-handers, an average strikeout to walk of 9% against the Reds.
Dude,
so
the Rockies have a 6.3% K to walk that weekend.
Yeah. The vaunted combination of Senzatella, Herman Marquez, and Chase Dahlander rolling into Cincinnati, rolling into Great American Small Park with a 6% K to walk. So great week. We'll get to the Reds, but great week to and there's actually some actionable pickups with Cincinnati, foreshadowing a little bit, but the rest of seven gamers would be in the NL West would be the Arizona Diamondbacks and San Diego Padres. No five game weeks. But a ton of baseball for the last full week before the break, my friend.
It is great to see because then the break takes place. We get bored. We have a derby. And then also, again, it doesn't matter because as much as we love Javi Baez, he's starting in the outfield, which is insane.
Right. I mean, you were busy today, but like the starters got announced today. I could not be more turned off by debates on who starts for the All-Star team. Like, I'll watch the game. I don't care. But like, I don't. Care.
it is an exhibition, folks. That's what it is. All right, that's our All-Star talk for the day.
Yeah, that's our All-Star break. We'll actually have some All-Star break episodes and content, but the game itself,
that's your coverage, folks. All right, let's start with the Baltimore Orioles. Six games for the final week of the first half of the season. Six games all at home, three versus the Mets, three versus the Marlins, one lefty, five righties. On Friday, Tyler O'Neill is expected back from the IL, so we'll have to see how that plays out this weekend because Ryan O'Hearn has been, Laureano has been awesome. You've had Colton Cowser in left, but somehow Tons going to have to fit in. So what do you got this week?
That's what I have. I mean, that's going to be, if you have Ramon Laureano, who's been really good, you and Brandon just talked about him for a little bit on bench with Bubba. Will that affect, because I think Tyler O'Neill is going to play as long as he's healthy. Like, how does that shake out? So luckily before Fab, we get three games to kind of see what the Orioles do with that lineup. The only other thing I have is like, I've got Jordan Westberg in a few spots,
dude.
Like another injury for Jordan Westberg. I don't, and it's not the kind of like injury where he's out forever and you can drop him. It's these lingering things. And this most recent one is a finger. Is that right?
It's his finger. Yes.
And they're saying like, it's not going to go away. So
no,
great. So like, if you have Jordan Westberg, I don't know, man, I don't know what to do, honestly, because he's going to play, I think. But like, how healthy is Jordan Westberg the rest of the way?
Yeah, and he's missed five straight games with the injury. They say he's day-to-day. He's going to have to miss time here and there. Like, it's a disaster. Ramon Urias, what's weird is looking at the past six games on Fangraphs roster resource here, Ramon Urias played all five games. Westberg was out. When Westberg was in at third base, Colby Mayo played DH. For those that keep track at home, Colby Mayo was a third baseman, I believe, at AAA. So let's not play. His defense must be atrocious. Is the only thing I think is taking place there. But that's a bad segue. Colton Cowser is doing his thing. But DeLoriano, I'm hoping O'Neill takes either Cowser's spot or he takes some DH reps away from Ryan O'Hearn, who is hitting the skids. Now, it's a five righty week. So O'Hearn probably still plays five of the six games. But that could be an angle as well. Is where I'm trying to go with this, with his current struggles. So keep an eye on that.
Yep.
O'Neill is 42% rostered. Laureano is still 24%, and I would be jumping all over that if you can. Last thing I'll mention, Ryan, he's 85% rostered in OCs, but very low rostered in other formats. Gary Sanchez, ride that train while it's hot, folks. Just ride it. It's ridiculous. He's doing it right now. Just ride that train.
And Gary Sanchez doing so against lefties and righties. He's not discriminating in his domination. So, agreed. There was an injury scare with Sanchez. I forget what it was, but started on Wednesday.
Foul tip off his finger. Yeah.
Life of a catcher. But, yeah, looks really good and kind of sneakily. If you lost a catcher and there were a few catcher injuries these last few weeks, might have fallen into a lucky spot there if you added Gary Sanchez.
Yep. Might have indeed. Let's go to the Boston Red Sox here. Seven games to wrap up their first half of the season. All at home, three versus the Rockies, which we love to see, and four versus the Rays. It is two lefties and five righties for your Boston Red Sox, a team that is putting up a ton of runs lately, but they are facing Reds pitching. What do you like here?
I don't know. Not too much, honestly. So I think it's a decent week for David Hamilton, though I keep saying that. Did not start against a righty on Wednesday, so maybe not. One thing I'm looking at is your boy, your former boy, I guess. Kyle Harrison's pitching pretty well in AAA. I wonder with, like, Tanner Houck has been terrible on his rehab. We talked about Walker Buehler on Tuesday. Like, I don't know how long he's sticking around. Like, I think this, and I'm not saying stash Kyle Harrison, but in a couple of weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes up and makes some type of contribution here.
Yep. I've written about the last 2 weeks in the Fab article as a potential stash. If you have room to stash, they're messing with his pitch mix. He's looking good, to your point. Like, when they had the doubleheader on Wednesday, he was rumored to be an option for the second game. They did not go that route, of course, but he's close. He's real close. And to your point, between Walker Buehler and the other, just I will say, options to be nice in that rotation outside of Garrett Crochet and Lucas Giolito. Yeah, he's going to be up sooner than later. So totally with you on that one. Not a whole lot else for me, though. Like, you nailed the main ones, because like, Brayu and company are heavily rostered. I'm not going to Abraham Toro. Like, that's a deep, 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 deep league play.
It's a deep cut. It was fun while it lasted with Toro.
Yes, but we're not going back there. New York Yankees, they have six games coming up all at home. It's a home stretch here for a couple teams. Three versus the Mariners, three versus the Cubs, two lefties, four righties. Ben Rice is catcher eligible.
Rejoice. There was much rejoicing. Got the 10th game today on Wednesday. Ben Rice did. So even if Ben Rice is like a part-time player, which he has been, you can do part-time players of Ben Rice's quality at catcher as opposed to like corner infield. So
100%.
Congratulations to those who waited it out with Ben Rice. You'll be rewarded there. Trent Grisham is just the other kind of name I've got, nursing a hamstring injury, not on the IL, but has missed the last two starts. So you wonder, you maybe hope that Jason Dominguez fills in there and starts to get regular playing time, but we will see these next few days. It's somewhat of the double-edged sword doing a Wednesday night fab preview. We don't know what Trent Grisham, what that health status is.
Yeah, the two games Grisham's been out, Dominguez got starts and left. Bellinger slid over to center, so that's a plus. But reports on Wednesday is Grisham is running around and may play on Thursday. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see again the Wednesday fab preview. But we're just trying to get the ball rolling for you. And honestly, Grisham's been struggling anyways. It'd be nice if they just play Jason Dominguez. But
Agreed.
Yeah. Marcus Stroman's back. Don't pick him up. Just going to throw that one out there. And Devin Williams looks real good and looks like he's locked into the closing role for now. Just going to say that as well.
Did pitch the eighth tonight, I think, just to get him some work spot. Yeah, gave up a couple runs, but that's what always happens when a closer goes in a non-closing situation. So Murphy's Law.
Yeah, because Weaver has not looked good.
I mean, I was just gonna add Weaver hasn't been vintage Weaver either. So I do agree. I think Devin Williams is pretty much locked and loaded there for now.
Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games on the road, so no park advantage next week. 3 at the Detroit Tigers, 4 at the Boston Red Sox, 2 lefties and 5 righties for your Tampa Bay Rays. Anything of interest here? Most of the important players are not available.
Agreed. I don't actually have anything on the Rays. I don't see much in the lineup or just anything. Like the wrong Joe got called up from the minors this past week. Joe Rock.
What a tease that was if you read too fast.
Seriously. So I don't even know who Joe Rock is, but it's not Joe Boyle. So
the one thing I'll say is if available, Ha-Sung Kim should be back either next week or right after the All-Star break.
Okay.
So that could be, unless something sets back once again, he's rehabbing. He's real close to being back with the team. So that would be one to look at. And they're saying he might play second base, not shortstop.
I was going to say, Brandon Lau, at least against righties, is pretty locked in there.
Yeah, so maybe he'll play a little bit of both and may like sit Lau first lefties and move Kim over there. We'll see. But I don't think he's locked in shortstop from one thing I saw.
Like, why are we? I know Taylor Walls like has a good glove, but why is Taylor Walls starting regularly?
Like, because yeah.
I don't know.
Tampa Bay Rays, baby. Like, play Caballero.
Right. I mean, I don't know. The Rays are smarter than you and me, I don't know. Taylor Walls, like, what have we been doing the last few years here?
What do you say you do here?
Exactly. He's a Bob.
That'd be my question.
He's a Bob.
He is a Bob. All right, let's go to the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 games on the road, 3 at the White Sox, which we love to see, and then 3 in that great ballpark in Sacramento. So pretty good week for your Toronto Blue Jays. 2 lefties, 4 righties. Ernie Clement, anybody?
Jesus, I can't even get a word out before you bring him up.
He's now first base eligible as well. He's eligible at every infield position.
First, second, short, and third?
I think that's what I saw earlier. Let me double check. It was pretty impressive when I saw it. First, second, yeah, all of them. Nowhere in the alphabet, every infield position.
That's awfully useful in draft and holds. I'll go that far.
In draft and holds, shots fired.
I'll go that far. Don't have too much on the Rays, on the Jays. Andre Jimenez is starting to turn things around. Has had a pretty good week hitting 9th. I don't know. Is he still pretty widely rostered in 12s? I feel like he was getting 73%. So maybe available in your 12 teamers, Andrés Giménez. The other just kind of note from this week that I was going to bring up is just another start, another injury for Max Scherzer. Yep. If you go over to the mound, it's like we thought about the thumb, and then now all of a sudden it's what, forearm soreness type of deal. Does not look good for Mighty Max.
No, that's pretty bad. Pretty bad for Mr. Max Scherzer. So definitely monitor that. Yariel Rodriguez has been outstanding out of the bullpen for the Jays. So when we talk like spec guys, if trades were to happen or whatnot, Yariel Rodriguez is a guy you want on your radar. So keep that one close to home.
Like, do you think they move him to the rotation?
No, he's dominating the bullpen right now. Like, he's like a setup man now.
Yeah.
And so, and Jeff Hoffman has been shaky of late. So keep an eye on Yariel Rodriguez. If there were to be a Hoffman trade, injury, removal, whatever. Yariel is now the man. Yimmy Garcia came back from the IL on Wednesday, but Yariel Rodriguez still appears to be pretty, pretty good. So keep that one in mind. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot either. Santander still doing nothing. Farsho could be back after the All-Star break, so he's another guy to keep an eye on if you want to start. Because we're getting towards that part after next week. It's half week, so you can start stashing in theory if you want to for post All-Star break. Maybe not long-term, but post All-Star. So some of these names can't come into play. Chicago White Sox. They have 7 games this week. 3 at home versus Toronto, 4 at home versus Cleveland, 1 lefty, 6 righties, and a pretty good week for a team that is pesky. I'm not going to say their offense is good, but I'll say they're pesky right now.
Pesky, yeah, that's probably the right adjective. You and Brandon talked about Andrew Benintendi, still only 41% roster. So I'm going to still bang this drum. I know we've talked about Benintendi for the last few weeks, and people are probably like, all right, stop talking about him. But still widely available in a lot of 12-teamers, and I think Andrew Benintendi's really good. Lenin Sosa mentioned last week, more of a deeper play, but he had a really good week this past week, eligible, not quite Erdy Clement level. But, you know, we can't all be Ernie Clement.
Not many are. Not
yeah,
many
are. I mean, you know, one of a kind. But the other thing I was just going to add, Edgar Caro, this is probably old news to catcher man like you, but like Edgar Caro has kind of quietly lost the primary starting job to Kyle Teal. So if you're like me and hang on to catchers for way too long, looking at you, Kiber Ruiz, you may want to move on from Edgar Caro. So.
Yep, that is still even part-time role. He's probably outperforming Kiber Ruiz, so that's okay. But yeah, get your Benintendi. This is the part where it's very, and I know it's fresh off the brain, but talking with Waddell and stuff with 12s, you know, a lot of guys just not caring anymore, and some guys not being able to move on from people, and some guys having past discrepancies against a Benintendi or something. Like, the dude's been really good when he's on the field, and he should be rostered over a lot of other players that are starting on teams right now. So to Ryan's point, there's a reason the drum keeps getting beat. Let's put it that way. And then I'm with you on Lennon Sosa, of course. Other than that, they're like actually starting, like Miguel Vargas is being rostered. He's kind of struggled of late, though, so he's on an auto start like he was for a stretch there. Mike Topman's more of a deep league play, but still on a good schedule like the White Sox have coming up. I could see throwing some Topman out there with 6 righties on tap and some pretty friendly matchups if you wanted to. But other than that, I'm not going to go too crazy with the White Sox.
I feel like we've got a Gene Segura warning here with Chase Mydroth. I feel like he hasn't done anything lately. Trying to pull up his last 30 days. Hitting .232, 1 home run, 2 steals the last month for Chase Mydroth. So again, it's more my 15 team brain, but you need to be moving on and getting counting stats there. Grant Taylor does seem to be the primary option. No, in the ninth for the White Sox. What's that? He's not?
Well, maybe, but Mike Vassell got a save the very next day. Maybe it's because Grant Taylor went 2 innings.
He threw 30. Yeah, he wasn't available.
That could be it, but Taylor's got the stuff. It's just, what are the White Sox going to do?
Right. I mean, it's the age-old question of how big is that? How big is that pie for saves? But I don't know. In terms of streaming against the White Sox, since you said they're, what was the adjective you
used? Pesky.
Pesky. You still want to stream against pesky teams, I think. But you got Jose Berríos, Chris Bassett, probably starting those two guys, even though Berríos, dude. Berríos entered the 5th inning tonight with an 8-0 lead and did not get the win against the Yankees. So just want to pull my hair out. Bassett got blasted, I think 8 earned runs in 2 innings or something this past week, but I still think you roll those two against the White Sox. You don't roll Bowden Francis against anybody if he makes that start. Logan Allen I'd be interested in. Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, Luis Ortiz, you roll against the White Sox. So that's our weekly stream against report there.
For sure. Cleveland Guardians, 7 games on the road, 3 at Houston, 3 at the White Sox, 1 lefty, 6 righties as well. The back end of the week against the White Sox, of course, is a beautiful schedule for Cleveland. Problem is, who are you rostering from Cleveland?
Right, yeah, like I just mentioned the Logan Allen stream. I do like that for this week. But in terms of the lineup itself, like, I don't know, man. I don't think you add anybody on Cleveland right now. It sucks because it's a 7-game week and 6 righties, but like,
do you want Manzardo for the week?
Yeah, you could look at Manzardo. You could look at Manzardo hitting like second and third, and we'll do so 6 times. But like your Nolan Jones, Schneeman, not really that interested in.
Yeah, Jones is starting to hit the ball harder. I'm just not seeing the results. So not overly excited on that front. Let's head to the Detroit Tigers. 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus Tampa, 3 versus Seattle, 1 lefty and 5 righties. And that Seattle series could be a bit tricky when it comes to quality of pitchers.
Yeah, this is a brutal schedule because not even the Seattle trio of Kirby, Diaz and Gilbert, but Kirby and Gilbert, but you've got Shane Baz and Pepio, and even Littell like doesn't get a bunch of K's, but pitching well. So tough week for Detroit. I don't know if there's too much actionable fab pickups you make here. Like, I guess Trey Sweeney's back, but he was awful before getting sent back down. So I don't know what you do there. Reese Olson on the pitching side is back Friday, but I don't know if there's too much here.
There really isn't, even with Kerry Carpenter hitting the IL. The replacement value is not quite there on the waiver wire. Like, do you keep running Winseal out, who he had a down week?
Slow down a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm pro Winseal. I will always be. So I'm throwing him out there. But, yeah.
I guess the guy I'll still mention, still maybe more so a deeper league play, I got a doubleheader, went 4-for-8 on Wednesday, is Matt Vierling. He just continues to produce. Again, probably a deep – or not, you know, Zach McKinstry. I mean, Zach McKinstry.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
Yeah. As well. Zach McKinstry is a guy that, at least in deeper leagues, I could see some appeal in a 12-team. I guess it depends. But if you want a batting average boost for a week, go for it. Doesn't really help out a whole lot more, though.
Yeah.
All right, Kansas City Royals, 6 games this week, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 3 versus the Mets, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Royals, a team that's offense just can't get out of its own way right now.
Agreed, and thus, like, I don't know if you do anything. My guy's on a rehab assignment. Mount Massey's crawling back up that peak, but we need to see something from Massey before in the majors before thinking of him as a fab ad. So I don't have anything for the Royals this week either.
I guess my question is, do you start a Keller, a Falter, Manaea? Do you start them against the Royals?
Manaea could be back.
Maybe. He threw 60 pitches on Tuesday. He's going to have one more rehab start potentially this weekend. If that goes well, he might pitch that last series. If not, he'll pitch right after the All-Star break.
Okay. I mean, people who have Manaea have been probably stashing him. So you throw that. Still, but...
well, I saw like earlier, Manaea is still 89% rostered in OCs. He's been held.
That's wild.
3% started, by the way.
That's damn. Happy football season to those 3%. Yes. Kansas City Royals the last month, 85 WRC plus, like as a team, not great. So yeah, they are entering stream against territory. For sure.
Yes. So I think you can keep an eye on some of those guys. And I'm not even kidding. Bailey Falter could be in play, especially in deep performance.
Agreed.
Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus the Cubs, 3 versus the Pirates, 2 lefties and 4 righties. No Bailey Ober. But what do you like on the offensive side of things?
What do I like on the offensive side of things? I don't think I like much. Like, Royce Lewis is back. It's more like a concern of like in deeper leagues. Like, so Royce Lewis is back. Does Brooks Lee continue to hold down a regular job? We've kind of talked about that the last couple of times out. And in terms go ahead.
I was going to say, is the first, like, Lewis sat on Wednesday, came back on Tuesday. So he played third. Brooks Lee went to second. Cody Clemens went to the bench. Now, Cody Clemens played on Wednesday at first base. Brooks Lee went to third. Willie Castro went to second when Lewis sat. So it looks like Clemens may be the odd man out, but it's only one game so far.
Which is fine. And Brooks Lee has started each of the last 6. So those last two with Lewis activated from the IL. So maybe it's not too much of a concern for Lee as much as it is Clemens. But even still, like, I don't know. Like, are you starting Lee in 12? So it's more of a 15 team
thing. More of a 15, yeah. But yeah, not a whole lot else when it comes to Minnesota.
What about Bailey Ober? Who's their fifth starter now?
I haven't even seen that. They haven't named anybody. They called up Thunderbunk, I believe is his name. Thunderbunk. Thunderbunk. Cody Thunderbunk got called up from AAA as a bullpen reliever. They have not called up a starter yet. That's when it's going to get spicy, because I don't know who they're going with now. They don't have a whole lot going on. It could be a bullpen situation, at least to get through the All-Star break.
It's just a tough IL roster for Minnesota with Pablo Lopez, Zebby Matthews, Bailey Ober there. Like, it's a tough year.
Yeah, the Braves say, hold my beer. All right, let's go to the AL West. Let's talk about the Sacramento Athletics. They have 6 games all at home to finish. We get all A's and all Reds this week at home. Glorious. 3 versus Atlanta, 3 versus Toronto, all righties on tap as well. Pretty good pitchers. This will get updated because Schwellenbach's not there anymore. So that'll change things when tomorrow morning clicks around. But for now, the A's are looking pretty strong matchups for them, I'd say, overall.
I was going to say, which makes, this schedule, very nice for the A's. Not only is Schwellenbach, personally lifting that 14% K-minus walk of the average for pitchers going against the A's this week, once that goes away and is replaced by Waldrip or some bullpen combination for the first start back, this is a really good schedule, especially when it's all at home. I think it's a get-right week for Tyler Soderstrom. Right. If you didn't listen to the Tuesday show, I know we just recorded that one last night, so maybe you're not caught up, but both pretty concerned about Tyler Soderstrom and the lack of power that we've seen from the last month. But we know he can mash. We know he can hit. This would be a great spot for Soderstrom to kind of get right and go with 6 home games all against right-handed pitching. So I think if Soderstrom, what's his 12 team?
He's got to be rostered.
He's still 90% started.
Yep.
In 12s.
There's always an edge. There's always an edge, my friend.
So maybe never mind. But yeah, keep Tyler Soderstrom started, I guess, if you have him, is my long way of saying that.
I have a couple things to Dr. Doom's point here. Should Wilson be back? Right. He should be. He's missed 2 games to a hamstring injury. They're saying it's not serious. Again, we'll see with these, but hopefully he's back this weekend, which leads to next week. The other thing, Zach Giloff should be back this weekend.
Yeah, and good call.
He's not, at least I'm not showing him in my OCs right now. Maybe he's available somewhere else. It's just not showing up for me. But all he has to play is 1 game on Friday or Saturday, and he'll be available on the waiver wire. And he gets that whole week in Sacramento. And Luis Urias, who's been playing second base, left with a hamstring injury on Wednesday.
That's convenient.
The stars have aligned on this one for Zach Giloff. So, yeah, that's a name I would put towards the top. Batting average can always be a concern, but this is a former 2020 talent. If you give me 3 months with half his games in that ballpark, I'll take my chances.
No, that's a really good call. And I actually think Giloff is probably one of the top priority guys. Probably the top one we've talked about so far. Could be the top one of the week. Cause I think even without Luis Urias leaving with an injury on Wednesday, I think
it was still Giloff's job.
Yeah. It's still his gig. And then this is a soft ass landing spot to get 6 at home. So just play that 1 game, Zach, this weekend, and you'll be eligible. Please. And you'll be ready to go.
Yes, and as Dr. Doom says, oh, man, Giloff, Soderstrom, Kurtz, Law Dogs, strikeout lineup for pitchers. Very true.
True, also, but
that's a lot of home runs right
there. Ton of power. A lot of beef.
Because you throw in Bangaliers, you throw in Rooker, you throw in like that. That's not a lineup you want to see, especially at that ballpark when it's 102 out. That's agreed. Not a place you want to be.
It's a deep lineup, too, in terms of power. If Geloff hits, we don't know, but that's going to be nights where
they score 2 runs and strike out 12 times. There's going to be nights when they hit 7 home runs.
Yeah, there's going to be some buckle up nights.
Just stack it, make 1 lineup in DFS a night. It's like the old Coors rules, basically. Just make at least 1 lineup and see where it goes. All right, enough of that. Houston Astros, they have 6 games this week all at home. Cleveland, Texas, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Jeremy Pena, RIP. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully it's only 4 weeks. We'll see. As that continues to heal, Shea Whitcomb was called up, which was glorious because he had a monster home run.
A bomb. On
Wednesday. God, please play Shea Whitcomb. He DH'd. He didn't even get to play in the field. He DH'd, which doesn't make me feel like he's getting a ton of playing time. And it was against a lefty, they sat Caratini. They're not going to play him. I can feel it now. God, fucking
right. No, but that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what is that path to playing time for Shea Whitcomb?
It's called get out of the way and let him play. That's just the Victor Caratini's playing over him. What you do is you, okay, if you're not going to bring up Bryce Matthews to play shortstop, that's the logical move. He's a young prospect, stud, a little bit of pop, tons of speed. Play him at shortstop. They're not going to do that, it sounds like. So, okay, you put Dubon at short. You put Shea Whitcomb at second. You put Altuve back in left. And you tell Cooper Hummel and Taylor Trammell to go pound sand.
Hey, that man. Seems like you should be.
Cooper Hummel and Taylor Trammell should not be holding this up. That's my point.
No, that's a good point. I missed. Yeah. Moving Altuve back. I don't know how fruitful that experiment was in the corner, but what you risk there is seeing if you can get Whitcomb and getting Hummel out of your lineup. Like I get it, but they probably won't do it though.
That's the most, like, if I'm an Astros, like, I'm just a fantasy person here. If I'm an Astros fan and I'm like wanting to go win the West, not happy with that predicament right there. So anything else with Houston, as I just had my tyrant.
Yeah, no, I'll let you cool down for a second. The last thing I was going to look up is, it sounds like Lance McCullers is starting Friday at the Dodgers, and the Astros have Thursday off. So even if they do go like a six-man rotation, like, Fangraphs doesn't have Ryan Gusto starting anymore. So I mentioned this before, but if you have Ryan Gusto, just keep an eye on any news out of Houston, because even though Gusto's pretty skilled, as we talked about on the Tuesday episode, he may not have a job. So we'll see there.
Yeah, RotoWire does not have him either. So good point on that one. Something to keep in mind. Weirdly enough, on Wednesday, we saw, I didn't even know his name, Bennett Sousa. He picked up the win on Tuesday, got the save on Wednesday, because Hader, they're not pitching him on back-to-backs. So they don't have pitching a Abreu on back to back. So somehow Sousa came in. He's got a win and a save this week. My point being, don't go out and pick him up just because you saw that. But maybe keep an eye on him. If something were to change in that bullpen, but they're just not pitching certain guys on back to backs.
Yeah, and if you don't know Bennett Sousa, then I certainly don't. 30-year-old hasn't pitched in the majors in 2 years.
But he's a lefty. I was recording and I had big inning on. I looked up. I'm like, that's not Josh Hader. Who the heck is that?
Hader's gotten his fair. Like, he has been for as much as we kind of belabor the early closers. Like, Josh Hader has been nailed this year. Like, a 186 ERA is fantastic.
Every other year thing, man.
24 saves. Like, man, what an awesome season. And they Hader pitched every other day this week and got saves every other day. So he's been awesome.
Yep. And darn good. Let's go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 7 games, all at home. 4 versus Texas, 3 versus Arizona, all righties as well. A lot of righties this week. Lefties have left the building, it feels like, for now. Problem is a lot of your Angels are rostered at the moment. So what are you looking at here?
We are looking at potentially Jorge Soler, right? Now that he's back from the IL, I believe Homer today, maybe I'm
30. Yeah, he did 33% rostered. Wow.
I didn't think it'd be that in 12s. I didn't think it'd be that. Jorge Soler, like, you never know, like, streaky hitter, the power is still lurking there at some point. You get a 7-game week, the playing time safe for Jorge Soler. I think that's a decent add. Our good mascot, our original mascot, Luis Rengifo, is starting to hit again, which you certainly like to see, playing a decent third base as well, even leading off sometimes. So I think Luis Rengifo is back to being pick upable while he's on this tear. The last thing I want to add, I'm still worried about Zach Neto.
A lingering situation.
Yeah. I did not watch the Angels game today, but there was talk in our Discord, like, he made a pretty routine play at shortstop, threw over to first, like, in the first inning, and the trainer came out. It's like, they were, like, people in the Discord were wondering if Neto was going to be taken out of the game. He stayed in the game, but, like, something tells me, I don't know. I don't know if Zach Neto is fully right. So, I love that he only missed and avoided the IL, only missed 4 or 5 games or whatever, but I don't know, man. I've got a bad feeling about Zach Neto. Could be wrong.
Yeah. I think you are wise to have that feeling, because I wouldn't feel great. Like, because I saw the play he made before he missed five games. Like we both did. That look great. No. You know, like at that point, it's okay. Like, guy's got a history. Maybe we should just chill out for a bit here. But no, that's not what teams do these days. They make it worse before they chill out. So we'll see where that goes. Question for you. Soler or Tyler O'Neill in Fab this week?
I'd go Tyler O'Neill.
I would go Soler, because I think Soler actually plays every day.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bet you on it. Not confident either way. But rest of season, I'd go Jorge Soler.
Because Tyler O'Neill will be back on the
aisle. Tyler O'Neill's going to get hurt again. But I think while O'Neill is healthy, I don't know if he'll play every day. But I think while O'Neill's healthy, he's more productive than Soler would be.
Both are super streaky.
Right, yeah.
Seattle Mariners, six games on the road, three in the Bronx, three at Detroit. So tough matchups all in all. Like pitching-wise, the Yankees ones don't look too bad because Stroman's involved and a couple others. But just overall, the team environments are tricky. One lefty, five righties. That one lefty being Tarik Skubal. So do with that what you wish. What do you like with Seattle? Because he's not available, but Randy Arozarena is on fire right now.
Yeah. Got a lot of. I think he's my most drafted player. So
I remember that actually when we talked early in the season. Yes.
Yeah. So that's been nice to see Randy Arozarena doing his thing. Especially because it's at New York, so you get that short porch for three games. I think it's a great week to keep rolling with Dominic Canzone.
Yep.
I love any hitter who has, and there's not many of them that have a higher barrel rate than a strikeout rate. Like Dominic Canzone is not striking out at all 13% of the time. He's not whiffing. So that 266 batting average so far through 67 plate appearances look pretty legit. And then on top of that, you throw in a 15% barrel rate, which is awesome. And he's already hit a ball 116 miles an hour this season. Dominic Canzone has. That is by far for him a personal best. So Dominic Canzone in a five game righty week, I think, is a really good weekly move here.
I don't mind that. J.P. Crawford is only like 23% rostered. It could be an interesting series in New York, at least. I'll say that much.
Hey, your guy, Taylor, White Sox, is pitching the ninth here.
There we go. My guy, Taylor. Again, I'll add him to the sheet. Grant Taylor.
22. I haven't finished. 22 pitches, no outs, two runners on. So. Yeah.
He's Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn. Like if he comes out with glasses with a skull on him, I'll roster him immediately. But
it's not looking
good. He's got some great outings and some other outings. You're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I have not seen Grant Taylor pitch. I don't. Pardon me for not watching many White Sox games this year, but yeah, Wild Thing Vaughn looks like a good comp.
Yeah, just give the Dodgers what they need—a chance to win another game. All right, let's go to the Texas Rangers here. Seven on the road, four at the Angels, three at the Astros, three lefties, four righties, which pretty much takes the Rangers out of play for the most part. But news, Josh Jung, welcome to AAA, my friend.
Yeah, hours after your call, Grant Taylor just walked the bases loaded there. Well, hours after your call on the Tuesday night show that Josh Jung has been absolutely terrible. One of my former guys, Ezekiel Duran, is back from wherever the hell he's been. I don't know.
But does it matter?
I always have a soft spot for Ezekiel Duran. I have no idea why, but has played third base the last two games. I think he's just a utility guy, because I think with Berger back, you've got Berger at first. He probably rolled like Josh Smith around. And
yeah, Josh Smith just plays a whole third. Bunch of,
yeah. So I don't know. I just like saying Ezekiel Duran for some reason.
We know. We're used to it by now. But, yeah, it's a really bad team outside of the main culprit. So while they're hitting, it's great, but their depth is lacking tremendously. So keep that in mind. Kumar Rocker is always interesting if you're looking for some pitching for the week. He is – let's see what we scheduled to face before I get too excited about that. He gets the Angels. They've been good, but they can strike out. So that could be
a potential. That's a good spot. We talked about Kumar Rocker. He popped on the – pitch McChange Bloomboard on Tuesday night. So good spot for Kumar. Going back to Josh Smith, I think it's a great week. Like even though Josh Smith plays everywhere and is good, I think he's legitimately good, still not really playing against lefties. So I think it is a half week type of start where Texas gets three bad righties the first half of the week. And then you probably want to bench Josh Smith next weekend against two lefties.
By the way, you buried the lead. Grant Taylor walked the bases loaded with no outs to face Shohei Ohtani. You buried the lead.
Yeah, we're at 27 pitches with Ohtani up and no outs. So,
all right, the Dodgers, congrats on your win. Let's go to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, they have 6 games this week on the road, 3 in Sacramento, which you love to see, 3 against the Cardinals. It's 3 lefties, 3 righties. Sacramento is 2 lefties, 1 righty. So what are you doing here with Atlanta, who scored a few runs on Wednesday for the first time in forever, but as a whole, not great, and their pitching staff is completely gone.
Pitching staff is gone. Jurickson Profar did return today. Hit a home run.
Yep. I saw Jared Carabas. You know, people love him or hate him, but it was such a great tweet. He had the video and says, "The fastest a piss cup has ever entered a locker in a lifetime." That's pretty and he's so funny.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
This may be a news flash to everyone, but particularly to me, this may finally be the week that I bench Michael Harris because it is a split lefty righty week for Atlanta. And for
that's what it took.
Yeah, that's what it took. That's what it took. Just three lefties in a week. You know, 3+ months into the season, I'm finally willing to accept defeat here. But for as bad as Michael Harris has been, he's even worse against lefties. So it's tough all around. I don't know why I bring up Michael Harris. It just makes you happy.
I didn't even do it this time. That was all you.
I know. I don't know what I'm thinking tonight.
It's all good. You're distracted by Grant Taylor and the White Sox.
I think he's out of the game. It just went to commercial. So
should be. I do want to mention something for the Rangers. I'll give Uncle Ted some due here. He mentions Jacob Latz every 30 seconds of most episodes, but it was a Rangers segment, and I dug in on Jacob Latz for ALS PT tomorrow. Dude's filthy. Over a 15% swinging strike rate. He's had 2 spot starts. He's primarily out of the bullpen, but he's been stretched out to be able to go
play. He's a bullpen guy, isn't he?
But he's got 2 spot starts. He had a no-hitter going deep into one of those games. Jack Leiter has not been good. Like, really has not been good. I could see a world where they switch roles at some point, and Jacob Latz can be quite interesting. So just keep that in mind. I when I dug in on him today, I was like, okay, there's something there. There's like, if you throw out 50 names, one's going to stick, and you might get that one. I'm going to give that to you. Anything else with Atlanta?
No, I'm trying to think of a Jacob Latz joke with like shoulders and triceps, but
it's like shoulders, knees, and toes. But yeah, you can do our Jacob's ladder. But yeah, you're welcome. Miami Marlins, 7 games this week, 4 in Cincinnati, which we love to see, and 3 at Baltimore. So all on the road, 3 lefties, 4 righties, which is always a killer for your streaming. In Cincinnati, it's 2 lefties and 2 righties, which doesn't make things any better. But overall, a really good week for matchups for the Marlins. What are you liking on this one?
Good matchup week. Kyle Stowers is starting to heat back up again. I know Dave Petrozillo has been asking about Kyle Stowers a little bit lately, and he's got to be happy with that. Though, again, like you said, in a split week, you may only get 4 starts for Kyle Stowers, which is a little bit of a bummer. So it's tough to add many Marlins in a 7-game week and a really favorable schedule and a good park. So that's a bit unfortunate. Just want to kind of quickly throw out the ninth inning just because continues to be a carousel, right? Ronnie Enriquez has picked up the last 2 saves for the Marlins. Would not be surprised at all if the good doctor picks up the next 2, Calvin Fauché. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that, but I'm still rolling the good doctor out there in a bunch of my drafting holds where I'm desperate for saves, but I don't know. Who knows when Fauché's next save opportunity will be.
I will throw out this. If you are in daily leagues, Derek Hill is back from the IL, and he destroys left-handed pitching. Those 2 games in Great American are pretty – I know it's Abbott and Lodello. I still like my chances in that one. And Trevor Rogers on the weekend. Good matchups for Derek Hill. So just want to throw that one out there for you.
Yeah. Those are tough, dude. Abbott's like good and Lodello's good, and
it all led to the punchline. That's why I was going with it. I had to get to the punchline.
I'll stop at Trevor Rogers, but yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, I can see it in daily formats for sure.
Daily leagues, not weekly by any means. New York Mets, they have 6 on the road, 3 at Baltimore, 3 at Kansas City, 1 lefty and 5 righties for a Mets team, which seems like they're starting to put out regular lineups finally. It's been a while.
Right. So that's why I wanted to dive into a little bit, because we have now almost a full week sample of Mark Vientos back. So in the last five games, Vientos has started 4. Brett Beatty started all of them. And Mauricio has been benched twice, once against a lefty, once against a righty. So it seems like they're still kind of rotating guys through. But at least so far, Mauricio has been the playing time loser. And we'll see what happens in that last, you know, three games of the week or whatever. But just something to keep track of on how that shifts out.
Yep. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot when it comes to the Mets, like deep, deep leagues. Luis Torrens could be a catcher too if you need to, but I'm talking deeper leagues. His quality of contact metrics are pretty strong. Production's not the greatest.
Sean Manaea back, as we mentioned earlier, but I guess everyone's been holding him anyway. So
yeah, whatever. 39% rostered in OCs, 3% started. Thank you, folks. All right, the Philadelphia Phillies have 6 games on the road, 3 at the Giants, 3 at the Padres, 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Phillies team we don't talk much about each week.
Right, and that's probably going to continue this week. I mean, Bryce Harper came back, and he had a doubleheader today, so he didn't start the second game, but that means probably no Otto Kemp going forward, which doesn't mean much. Speaking of ninth inning carousels that I mentioned with Miami, you've got that in Philly here where Ryan Kerkering got a couple saves, I guess, 2 weeks ago, but then pitched the 8th in the most recent save chance for Philly the other day, and Matt Strom pitched the 9th. Jordan Romano is still, for some reason, completely MIA. I shouldn't say for some reason. ERA is pretty bad, but going to be a rotating door there in the 9th for the Phillies, as you should expect.
Yep, I'm enjoying my like $4 Matt Strom's getting me one save a week with good ratios and strikeouts. I can live with that.
That's
been working.
That can work.
Working very well.
Yep.
I was going to mention one other thing. Oh, Brandon Marsh is only 4% rostered. And he's streaking again right now. So this could be a nice week to get some Brandon Marsh streaming action in your life. Not the greatest of matchups, but like Roop, Ray, Verlander. I like that Verlander start for sure. Darvish. Let's see if he's even pitching. Like, they haven't pitching this Sunday too, and I don't think that's happening either. So it could be like a spot start. Maybe, and then Pavetta and Cease. So, you know, do with that what you wish, but that first half of the week is pretty nice to stream Brandon Marsh, I believe.
Agreed. Homer today. So, picking it up.
Washington Nationals, they have 6 on the road, 3 at St. Louis, 3 at Milwaukee, all righties on tap for the Nats, a Nats team that put up some big runs on Wednesday night, and a team we thought in the preseason would do it often, not as often as we like this year, but what do you got with Washington?
Not too much. We did mention Josh Bell on the Tuesday show. I still think the playing time is relatively safe at DH for Josh Bell. So I like that. A little bit under the radar, but Jacob Young has been pretty hot lately, hitting like 300 over the last month as the Dodgers, as Freddie walks it off.
Jesus Christ.
Let's go. We need that, Freddie.
The Dodgers don't need to win, Ryan. He could have done that in the 6th inning. Didn't have to wait till now.
Dude, you're just rubbing your head.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Congrats to the Dodgers. Jacob Young hitting about 300.
Let's talk Michael Harris.
Jacob Young, damn it. Hitting 300. I'm trying to get this out, but I can't because I'm interrupting myself. So stealing bases has a green light like everybody in Washington has, but the batting average has been there lately for Jacob Young, and he's playing, although hitting 9th, but he's the everyday center fielder. So I think a sneaky stolen base source, and this is getting close to the part of the time of the season where you want to start looking at your categories and adjusting as need be. So Jacob Young is like 11% rostered in 12s right now on the NFBC. So if you need bags, I mean, it's probably your top option for stolen base specifically.
There's another guy this week, but Young might be above him. I'll give you that much as well. Let's go to the Chicago Cubs. They have 6 on the road, 3 at Minnesota, 3 at the Yankees, 2 lefties and 4 righties. When they head to the Bronx, it's 2 lefties and 1 righty, if that makes any difference for you. What do you have for the Cubbies, Ryan? Another team that's pretty steadfast in their lineups.
Agreed. I don't think I have anything for the Cubs, to be honest. Our guy is still locked in the 9th, Palencia. A little shaky save today, but 2 days in a row of the saves. So you like that.
Looking pretty, pretty good. and Porter Hodge hasn't pitched since Saturday.
Right. I'm not sure what's going on there, but yeah, has not pitched since Saturday. It's not great.
Yep. Not great at all. All right. Let's head to Cincinnati. They have seven. You highlighted this at the beginning, Ryan. What a glorious week ahead here. Dream. They're probably going to score seven runs total. No, not seven games, all at home. Four versus Miami, three versus Colorado, all versus right-handed pitching. A combined 8.9% K to walk, as you mentioned. The Rockies on the weekend, a 6.3% K to walk. All subject to change when pitching changes take place. But for now, amazing. And you said it, Ryan. So what is it? You said there's options in Cincinnati. Who are we picking up this week?
There's options. There's certainly Gavin Lux, who hits in the middle of the lineup against righties. You're going to get seven games there at home, which is awesome. And more of a 15-team play. There's Will Benson. But that could be streaky, but that can certainly work this week. You've got CES, Christian Encarnacion Strand, who has been banged up a little bit, but hit a grand slam today on Wednesday, I believe. And then you've got Noelvi Marte coming back, supposed to be coming back either sometime this weekend, but I think we're expecting him for the full week next week. Maybe he doesn't come back and play every single day of the seven games, but those are four different options depending on your league size. Lux, CES, Noelvi Marte, and Will Benson that I think you can and should take advantage of with the schedule. This is a dream schedule.
What if I told you this? Noelvi's 97% rostered right now.
In 12s?
Did not see that coming.
Hasn't he been out for like...
People started stashing him again like a couple of weeks ago. But okay.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
6% started.
So I guess Noelvi Marte is not a pickup.
I thought he would have been. What I will mention also is keep an eye on this. Spencer Steer hit by pitch in the hand in game one of the doubleheader. Tried to get ready for game two. So much swelling and was purple. They had a wrap on it. He sat out game two. Obviously needs to undergo more testing. We'll see how that one goes for Spencer Steer, who's been swinging it really well of late. But that could open up even some more, like your Will Benson comment that you made could open something up there. And just see how it goes. Maybe they play like Reese Hines over the weekend, and we know how streaky he can be for 1 week. I'm not in love with Reese Hines by any means, but with those kind of matchups for 1 week, everyone's on the table. So it's like CES probably slides into first. Noelvi goes to third. It's just an easy switch, like done and done. That could be the easy scenario. But there's other ways that could potentially go. So keep those in mind.
One last thing I'll throw out there is just the Trace Burns fiasco from earlier this week. I'm not that concerned. I think if you fab Trace Burns, obviously it sucks to spend that much coin and then he gets blown up. But it was pretty obvious the Red Sox knew what was coming in that game. I made a little clip on Twitter and posted that out there. Like they knew what was going on. I assume the Reds will fix that up and we'll be good to go. So I actually think Chase Burns is going to be just fine. So don't, it he sucks, but don't get too down there.
He should be. It's the other part is young players in general, let alone pitchers. They're going to be volatile as hell. Look at the Miz got beat up on Wednesday. Like it's going to happen. That's just the reality of the situation. So Adam Lee in the chat says Noelvi available in my 12 team. Keep Burleson or grab Noelvi for me. Kind of want Noelvi personally. Burleson's been really tough. Well, though.
Burleson's been on fire, but I do feel like he has peaked, so I'd probably take a shot at Noelvi.
For that seven-game week, that schedule, like if Noelvi comes back this weekend and they're going to slot him into every day at third base, I'm going that direction. So I'm with you on that. Otherwise, not a whole lot else. Hunter Green threw a bullpen session on Wednesday. He might throw one more before a rehab assignment. They're still expecting him back by the end of July, so something positive to think about on that as well.
Okay.
Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games at home this week, three versus the Dodgers, three versus Washington, two lefties and four righties for the Brew Crew. Decent schedule, nothing too crazy, but not a whole lot I'm excited about for Fab.
Ooh, I thought you were going to take some Isaac Collins and
rub it in there. He went four for four with the home run in game one of the doubleheader on Wednesday. Throwing that out there.
He did. That was good. Still, I continue to be eating crow over Jory Ortiz, who I believe hit a grand slam on Wednesday today. Still hasn't really shown the power, but I've been saying that the last 2 weeks, and he's hit three or four home runs since I've been saying that. So I look like an idiot, and Jory Ortiz is looking pretty good. Still just 27 years old, playing every single day at shortstop. So I think I'm not sure I'm there yet in 12s, but certainly deeper than that. You find out if this is for real or not. Other than that, your guy Curlin tweeted out that Caleb Durbin didn't start either of the two doubleheader games on Wednesday, which
he hasn't played the last two games versus righties. Anthony Siegler has gotten those starts.
Yeah, I think that was both today, but either way, whatever.
Fair enough.
It's something to keep track of because Caleb Durbin has been hitting pretty well, but if he's not going to play regularly, then that's tough. So just monitor Caleb Durbin's playing time over the weekend if you have him.
The other thing I'll mention, Woodruff is back this weekend. Not saying to run out and pick him up, but definitely at least, you know, see what he's got.
No, I'm just glad he's like the rehab assignment from hell has actually been completed. Good for him.
Yeah, with all these guys getting hurt, like as much as we laugh about Woodruff, he might actually be an option here sooner than later. He's 98% rostered in OCs right now, 19% started.
Wow.
The numbers we're seeing tonight are very, very entertaining. He might actually get a start this week, though, so that could be a plus. All right, let's head to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Six games on the road, 3 at Kansas City, 3 at Minnesota, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Are you still on the Nick Gonzalez train?
Yeah. Still on the Nick Gonzalez train. I like that. Brian Hayes has been hitting well lately, hitting like 300 over the last month, 3 steals, playing every single day at third base. So you could think about that. But outside of those two.
There's one more.
Who we got?
There's actually two more.
Whoa.
Spencer Horwitz, 8% rostered right now in OCs. Might be waking up. It took a slow go, but he's hit like 250, 278, 333, 273 over the last 4 weeks. He's got a home run this week, his second of the season. So like I'm saying, maybe he's waking things up, especially with his team that's playing so well. The other one I'm going to mention is Mr. Tommy Pham.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to go with him. He's hot. He's been hitting well.
I started him in all of, like, he's actually starting to play regularly now. He wasn't at first. He's starting like all my DCs right now. Probably still a deeper league play, but Tommy Pham is actually swinging it pretty well. So another guy I wouldn't mind throwing out there. Cheap bids, stream him for a week.
I can get behind that. I can get behind taking a stab at Tommy Pham.
Well done. Well done. All right. Nothing else pitching side. Just move on. St. Louis Cardinals. They have 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Washington, 3 versus Atlanta, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Birds. What do you have here? A team that seems pretty structured for the most part.
Agreed. Just fingers crossed at the Wilson Contreras. What was he, hit by a pitch? Just like hit everyone by a pitch else?
In my hand. We got the old x-rays negative, but sat out on Wednesday. So
right. So just you worry about that, but keep an eye on that. In terms of ads for the Cardinals, I feel like the Cardinals we have talked about, they're like Phillies territory, maybe Padres of just like, I don't know. They're just there. They're fine. They're a good team, but not much fab action this year.
Agreed. Arizona Diamondbacks, 4 or 7 games all on the road, 4 at San Diego. It should be a good series, actually. And 3 at the Angels, 2 lefties, 5 righties, and a rather healthy set of matchups for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Josh Naylor did return to the lineup finally at DH on Wednesday after missing 4 games. That's a plus. Good week again for Pavin Smith, but I'll give you the floor on a guy that I know you're pretty excited about seeing him back up in the bigs.
Yeah, just second half Jake. I mean, we're seeing this. I don't know if that's actually a thing or not, but Jake McCarthy is making hard contact. Actually, the steals haven't really been there, but the power has been, oddly enough.
Which is what I liked in the preseason. I'm like, I think he's got more power than
agreed. You did. You were very high on McCarthy in the preseason, and playing time's absolutely there. It's going to be there this week with 5 righties, and it's a very favorable 5 righty schedule for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So if you didn't pick up Jake McCarthy last week, he did go for a little bit more in fab than I was planning for in 15s. It was more like the, I want to say $40-$50 range, and I was more in the 20s. So maybe I'm not the Jake McCarthy guy, but I think if McCarthy's still out there, this could be a really good add the rest of the way. We'll see if Corbin Carroll, you know, that timeline seems aggressive to me. Corbin Carroll may be back right around the All-Star break, which I'm like, we want to do that?
Just wait. But bring him back in August.
Just hold back. I think they said months. they want Carroll back before the All-Star. I'm like, okay, let's take the week, fellas. Yeah. So I don't know. Sure. Well, see what happens there when Carroll comes back. But Jake McCarthy's playing his way into regular playing time, and enjoy it while you can.
Yes, Jake McCarthy, Pavin Smith, and we can all hope and pray that any day now we get a call that says Adrian Del Castillo has been promoted to the
big. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's back. He's
back
healthy.
Off the minor league IL. So back for 2 days. With Gabby on the IL, they're starting freaking Jose Herrera with a backup catcher of James McCann. Let's just all have a candlelight vigil for a minute and just, like, whatever it takes, let's get our boy Adrian Del Castillo up in the bigs.
That's your guy. So,
would love. That'd be another catcher I'd be very excited to see show up. Colorado Rockies, 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 at Boston, 3 at Cincy. So they don't get Coors, but they get Great American, which is a plus. All righties on tap for Colorado. What has interest for you here?
I mean, it's road Rockies. So even though I think the Rockies are somewhat trending up, as I mentioned, I think on last Thursday's show, this is road Rockies. So Richard Fitz, Brian Bayo, Giolito's widely rostered, Chase Burns widely rostered, Singer, Nick Martinez widely rostered, but maybe not Martinez. Maybe you want to throw Nick Martinez, who's pitched well his last couple times out. Not a lot of strikeout ceiling, but Richard Fitz, Bayo, and Nick Martinez and Brady Singer, I'll throw in there as well, like good streamers this week. Still reeling from the Hunter Goodman IL stint / double dong on the same day this past week. What was that?
I had him benched everywhere.
Same. I did too. It sucked.
That was rough.
Dr. Doom's asking when is Tovar back? Doesn't sound good. Sounds like things are not progressing on the Ezekiel Tovar front.
Yeah, he's got some time. Let's put it that way. He's got some time, and if you need to drop him, not going to blame you on that one.
Yeah. Quietly, Michael Toglia has morphed back into the Michael Toglia of the first half of the season. So, yeah, shocker there. It was fun while we lasted. We had some victory laps there, but it was very short-lived. I don't know what else. Tyler Freeman, I've been banging the Tyler Freeman drum for the last few weeks, so I won't continue to go there, but stole another base on Wednesday. He looks really good leading off for the Rockies.
What I will say is if you do want to stream a Rockies bat, 6 righties, give me Mickey Moniak this week.
Okay, yeah.
That's good a call. Guy I can get behind with all those righties. He's played the last 2 righties, 2 out of the last 3. I unless they get real dumb, which the Rockies can, Moniak should play probably at least 5 of those 6 games. So, and if he gets 2 or 3 of those ones in Great American, I like me some Mickey Moniak. So,
yeah. Yep. I prefer him at home, but I'd prefer any Rocky at home.
The only reason why, I get the Road Rockies comments, it's always going to be the Road Rockies, but they just went into Washington a week ago and put up 1 million runs. If the hitting environment's right, it's hot out there. Like, they're still going to produce some runs. So, we'll see. We'll see. Dodgers on the road for 6, 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at the Giants, 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Dodgers. Not a ton you can do here, but ironically, and it just going to tilt my face off even more, but I'm going to ignore it like it's not happening. Kim's played 2 in a row and 3 out of the last 4.
You want that to happen, don't you?
I want him to be so the hit tool is really good and he steals like crazy. Yeah. And I just dropped him everywhere this past week, so that's why I'm not happy, because Dave Roberts sucks.
Can he play third base? Like, we're probably dating ourselves with this, but about an hour right before we went live, Max Muncy looks like he sustained a pretty bad knee injury. I have no idea what it is, but if Muncy is out for a while, like, could Kim slide over or somehow get in the lineup more frequently?
That'd be nice. Can Edmund slide over? Kim? Anybody? Yeah, that would be a start for sure, because otherwise, like, Miguel Rojas came in at the time. I'm looking at their minor leagues. They have Michael Chavis down there. They have David Bote.
Oh, Michael Chavis.
Nick Senzel. those are some of the third base options. Yeah.
Nick Senzel is on the Dodgers?
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but at least on roster resource, those are AAA options.
Michael Chavis. Wow.
Yeah, we're flashing back here. So we'll see. But yeah, Enrique Hernandez could be a big third base option as well. We'll see how the weekend plays out. But it looked like I'm hoping it's not, but it seemed pretty bad for
Esteri Ruiz. I need to go to Oklahoma City for a weekend, catch some games. Esteri Ruiz is on. I knew he was on the Dodgers, but that's a AAA lineup, man.
Yep. You can buy both AAA and Major League teams now. So it's good stuff. Anything else with the Dodgers, a team that pretty much is regularly doing their thing?
I mean, what's your read on the rotation? I don't know. Like, Wroblewski seems to be settling in to a nice follower role and pitching well.
Sheehan got smacked around on Tuesday.
We all, and myself included, thought it was one more AAA start and then he's up. That still might be the case, but yeah. Sheehan did not look good in his last minor league start.
Glass now is just a couple more, like probably one or two more rehab starts away. He's actually pretty close.
Yeah. Okay.
So keep that in mind as well. But yeah, as a whole, what they're doing right now, I don't know. It seems like Wroblewski's going to be behind Ohtani, which opens up a Sheehan spot if they want to, or a Kasperia spot. But who knows what the Dodgers really want to do?
It's tricky. Did not realize they are kind of, I don't want to say running away with the division, but I did not know they were 8.5-9 games up on.
It's happened like the last 2 weeks. That's wild. It was real tight there, and then they went nuts, and the rest of the division sucked for a while.
Huh. Interesting. So, yep.
Very interesting. San Diego Padres, 7 games, all at home. 4 versus Arizona, 3 versus Philadelphia. Tough week for the Padres. 3 lefties, 4 righties.
Yeah, and don't know what you do fab-wise. I don't see much of anything in terms of ads for the Padres. Tough schedule.
There is nothing that stands out at this point in time. And the San Francisco Giants, they have 6 games at home, 3 versus Philadelphia, 3 versus the Dodgers, a tough schedule as well. Two lefties, 4 righties, and facing some dang good pitchers.
Facing some good pitchers, and with only 4 righties, like, it is tough to, like, always kind of like the Yastrzemski. We bring him up frequently, homered on Wednesday, I believe, but tough start in a 4-game week. You want to see that at 5 or 6. Fitzgerald's back.
Not for long. He came up when Casey Schmidt, the IL. Casey Schmidt's expected back next week at the end of the IL stint. He had a cortisone shot. They say it's a minimal stint. Matt Chapman's expected back next week. He's going to take batting practice on Thursday, start rehab on Friday. But Casey Schmidt's 7% rostered in a perfect world, plays second base when he's back.
Okay. But yeah, the Matt Chapman news is good. You're rolling with Matt Chapman unless we hear of a setback next week.
Totally agree. All right, before we get into the Fantrax goodies from the day, I wanted to hit on this one. Concase says, when Shea Langler is one of the IL, I picked up Carlos Narvaez. What should I do? You should drop Carlos Narvaez.
Yeah, I don't know what other options you'd have at catcher, but yeah, take like Gary Sanchez or somebody, Victor Caratini even. Over and over. Like, he had a good run in Boston, but I don't know. Never really believed too much in the skills.
Totally agree. All right. Let's talk top free agents, risers and fallers. Ryan, what do we have cooking in the Fantrax streets?
It's a weird Fantrax week. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the data, but there's a lot of like rehabbers that are rising for some reason. But either way, we will do our best here. The top risers in terms of Fantrax ownership the past week, Luis Rengifo is up 4%, which is, you know, we talked about him. Connor Wong up 4%. I don't know why Jock Peterson is up 3%. I don't know why Andrew Vaughn is up 3%. I don't know why Christopher Morel is up 3%. Something's going on there. Like I said, Ryan Mountcastle, who's actually kind of like, but he's up 3%, scheduled to be back near the end of July. So I don't know. Jacob Young is up there. I like that. Yeah,
I'm going to cancel this because even Ronel Blanco's up, he's out for the year. There's something's broken with the system.
Yeah. I don't know why he's up 3%, but whatever. We can move on to two steps.
Let's head to the two-step world, and I'm going to check out the new format at rotowire.com. Arizona Diamondbacks, Merrill Kelly at San Diego, at the Angels.
Oops.
Brandon Pfaadt as well.
Merrill Kelly, yes. I don't know about Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah, Brandon Faught's probably a sit. Maybe a 15, but a 12. In those matchups, I would be very scared to throw him. Like Merrill Kelly, we'd roll. Brandon Faught, I would be sitting. And in that case, I'd be debating cutting as well.
Yeah, I get it.
The A's, Jeffrey Springs versus Atlanta versus Toronto.
Jeffrey Springs. No, I would not.
That's in Sacramento.
Agreed.
Atlanta, Didier Fuentes at the A's at St. Louis. No. Sad to mention it for Ted. Baltimore, Brandon Young versus the Mets versus Miami. No.
No. Nope. That's Boston, the Zach Eflin fill-in, and you don't want to go there.
Yeah. Boston, Brian Bello versus Colorado versus Tampa Bay.
That's tough. You like the Colorado start, but that Tampa Bay start could be terrible. I'm going to say no for Brian Bello.
I'm going to do it in 15s and 12s. I wouldn't even roster him. Like the ERA has been good, but he's got nothing else that he offers you. So it'd be a 15 team only for me.
Yeah.
Cubs, you're starting Shota. Cincinnati, Brady Singer, Nick Martinez versus Miami versus Colorado. It's a pretty good setup, but it's at home.
Yeah, but that's okay. I would roll both.
Yep, I'm with you. Tanner Bibee and Luis L. Ortiz at Houston at the White Sox.
Bibee, geez. Thought he was turning a corner and did not pitch that well today against the Cubs, but I would roll with Bibee. Who's the other guy?
Luis L. Ortiz.
No, I don't think so. Not like maybe in 15s if you're desperate, but I don't know. I'd probably do it in 15s, I guess, but yeah, not 12s.
Bibee everywhere, Ortiz in 15s. We're looking at the White Sox, Sean Burke and Aaron Civale versus Toronto versus Cleveland.
Sean Burke, no.
Aaron. He's regressing. I'd sit them both. I'd sit them
Aaron Civale.
I wouldn't have either rostered, let's put it that way, but yes.
Yeah, you're not doing Civale.
No. Jack Flaherty versus Tampa versus Seattle.
So I would do it. Flaherty threw like 40 pitches in the first inning against the Nationals today, looked pretty bad, but then looked very good after that, which is just weird. It was hot, humid, struck out 9. Like I'm still rolling with Flaherty. He has been terrible lately, but I think in a 2-step, I think you do it. The matchups aren't great. So maybe not in 12s, but my 15 team brain is saying yes to Flaherty.
Yeah, I do it for sure. Hunter Brown, you're
in
starting.
12s? You do it in 12s?
Yeah, I'm playing Flaherty both. Like we had a long talk about him with Brandon Waddell, and it opened my brain to why you do it. So, yes, I get it. Hunter Brown, you're starting for sure. Noah Cameron versus Pittsburgh versus the Mets. Pittsburgh starts. Well, they're getting pesky also.
They're getting pesky. They're getting White Sox pesky lately. I do it in 15, Noah Cameron. Like Pittsburgh and the Mets against lefties aren't that hot. So yeah, think about it.
Yep. You all say Kikuchi versus Texas versus Arizona.
Auto start, man. Come on.
What about Jose Soriano?
Way he's pitched lately, Jose Soriano has been auto start. The Arizona start's scary, but yeah, I do it.
Well, Texas is heating up too, which is kind of scary to be honest. But Arizona is scarier. Miami, Jansen Junk at Cincy at Baltimore.
No, no thanks.
No. What about Yuri Perez?
Yuri Perez, I'm not either. It's a 6% K minus walk. He's not missing bats. 9% swinging strike for Yuri Perez. Like this, I may be in on Yuri Perez next year, but this is not the Yuri Perez we get used to, which is to be expected coming off of TJ.
Agreed. Minnesota, Simeon Woods Richardson versus the Cubs versus Pittsburgh. No.
Jeez. No. No.
Clay Holmes at Baltimore at Kansas City.
I tweeted this. You had a good tweet about today. I'm very concerned about Clay Holmes. 4 walks today, 1 strikeout. He's got a sub 4 ERA.
It's a 2.97 ERA.
Sub 3 ERA. Yes, that's right. Yeah. For as someone who could have a sub 3 ERA halfway through the season, I am like the skills do not support this at all. And Clay Holmes, as we go to the second half. I just don't know what the skills are going to look like from a workload standpoint. So I don't know. It's hard to bench Clay Holmes, but like I might do it. I am very concerned about Clay Holmes.
Yeah, I'd probably roll it, but beware as you're, to your point.
Yeah.
Will Warren versus Seattle versus the Cubs. Oh. Will Warren got his. I'm gonna rephrase it nicely. He got destroyed tonight. Yeah. And that stings because I roster Will Warren in a few places. So yeah, not good.
Yeah, I need to look. Maybe I shouldn't look. I think I haven't benched and drafted Holds, but
my theory though, if like you start Flaherty, Warren's got that ceiling too.
I mean, Flaherty's better than Will Warren, dude. It's got like a track record. I would not do Will Warren. Two tough starts.
I really want to. Like that Seattle start's not as scary as the Cubs start, but I'm leaning towards doing it. Might be to my detriment, but I'm leaning towards doing it.
Yes, like a 6'8" person's not as tall as a 7-foot person, but.
Oh, good God. Christopher Sanchez at the Giants at San Diego.
Of course. Yes. Guy's a beast.
Paul Skeens is a yes. Nick Pivetta, Dylan Cease are both yeses, right? Yeah, no?
Yep.
Logan Gilbert's a yes. Landon Roop versus Philly versus the Dodgers. Roop's looked much better, I believe.
Okay. But still, the Dodger start scares me. Phillies are good.
The only thing I'll say about all these Sunday starts are getaways for the All-Star game. People might be sitting.
Yeah, it's a good point. And we're not going to know that though when we start. But yeah, it's a good point.
But it happens a lot on these games. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Freddie Freeman sits that game. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see to you. You know Root better than I do.
I would start him in 15s, 12s, probably not.
Okay.
St. Louis, Andre Pallante versus Washington versus Atlanta.
No, you got to be pretty desperate.
Yep. Shane Boz and Ryan Pepiot at Detroit at Boston.
The Boz, I think you need to do. The Pepiot, you need to do as well. Yeah, I think you go with both in pretty much any format.
You're starting DeGrom and Nate the Great. Welcome back.
Dude.
He looked good again.
He's got like a 1.7 ERA. Such a beast, man.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jose Barrios at the White Sox at Sacramento.
Why am I laughing? I have Barrios.
You go from pesky to dangerous.
Yeah, I'm going to buckle up, and we're going to do it.
15's 100% you're doing this. 12's probably, but don't watch that Sunday start. Washington, Trevor Williams at St. Louis at Milwaukee.
Never Trevor.
No, dude.
He got. But you call Trevor up? Trevor the Never? Trevor
the Never. Something like that. It's so bad. It's brutal. Brutal stuff there for sure.
Yeah.
But all right, that'll do it, my friend. Any final thoughts or a night early? But we got most of it covered. There will be a few changes throughout the next couple of days, of course. But we'll have you covered in the Discord with news and notes columns, with the Fab article. The sheets will be updated. That what we use tonight will be updated for you to keep you up to date. But I probably stole most of your thunder. Any final thoughts?
No, just have a happy 4th. Hopefully, yeah, this will get out to you. Hopefully on your last kind of work day before the holiday, you can take this in and then go enjoy yourself. So happy 4th to you, my friend. Happy 4th to the listeners out there. And stay safe, everybody.
Yep. Come back with all your digits. We'd appreciate it. That'd be a big start. Happy birthday to your little guy. Hope you guys have fun tomorrow with whatever you have planned. And we'll be back with you guys next week for more. Ryan's got a couple good ideas for the All-Star break wraparound Bloom boards. Oh, yeah. We'll kind of see where things go there. But we'll have you covered as usual. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick. And for now, this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 257. Catch you all next time.